This is the IBJ podcast for the week of January 4th, 2021. I'm Leslie Weidenbender, in for Mason King. COVID-19 vaccinations are underway, with tens of thousands of shots administered here in Indiana. But how many doses are available and who is receiving them? And of course, the question on many people's minds, when can I get a vaccine or when can my parents get one? IBJ reporter John Russell has been looking for answers, so we invited him onto the podcast to tell us what he's learned. Here's our conversation. John, thank you so much for joining us today.
Happy to be here, Leslie.
So the vaccines are the big story in COVID. I know we've had you on several times throughout this pandemic, but now we're at the point where vaccines are being distributed.
It is a big story and one that's generating tons of interest. And we're starting to get a little bit of numbers after weeks and weeks of hints that the state was gearing up for this. So as of the governor's press conference on Wednesday afternoon, here are the numbers we're getting. Indiana has so far vaccinated 76,000 people, which is a pretty small number considering our population is over 6 million. We've gotten about 300,000 doses of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, and having vaccinated 76,000 people, that works out to about 25% of what we have now being administered to patients. I say patients, but really who they're giving them to are not patients in hospital beds, but frontline healthcare workers, and to a smaller degree, residents and staff in nursing homes.
And so let's back up. And where are we right now in terms of the pandemic? How are the numbers looking?
The numbers are looking a little better than they were a month ago, but still pretty high. So for example, hospitalizations, which was a key metric not that long ago, because hospitals were crying that they were being overwhelmed with cases and running out of beds and staff. A month ago, there were about 3,400 people with COVID in Indiana hospitals. As of yesterday, there are fewer than 3,000, 2,941. That's still a big number, though, compared to the summer where there were fewer than 1,000. So it's still like three or four times as much as they were in the summer, and still a high number, but tapering off, improving a bit.
Going in the right direction.
Yeah. If it holds that way, it's going to be pretty good news, because going down is what you want.
Are there concerns that the holidays will mean some of those numbers start to tick up again a little bit?
Absolutely. So we just come off the Christmas holiday, and it's really a two-week lag period before you start to see what kind of numbers, what kind of infections you have. So maybe in another week or so, we'll see that. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the numbers going up. And of course, New Year's Eve, we'll get another look at how people are behaving in about 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks from now.
There is, of course, concern about a new strain of the coronavirus, that it may be transmitted more easily, although it doesn't appear to be any deadlier or any more serious. Any sign of that in Indiana at this point?
I wish I knew. I haven't heard anything. I can't say for sure. I have seen reports in other states and not seen any reports in Indiana.
So let's go back to the vaccine, because obviously that's what everybody wants to know about right now. Who right now in Indiana can be vaccinated?
It's a very small group of people, because there's only a scarce amount of doses on hand right now, and lots of people who want the vaccine. And so there's a list of who gets in front of the line. And right now, the front of the line is healthcare workers, those who are doctors, nurses, technicians, lab workers, those who are working with possibly infected patients, and those who are working with infectious materials. And so far, they say that makes up like 99% of who's getting the lion's share of the doses. That's aside from another group, which is residents and staff of nursing homes, and they're getting about 40,000 doses, which has been set aside, which is a fairly small percentage and will take a long time to vaccinate all those folks.
John, there are two vaccines at the moment. Is that right?
There are two, with three more in development, but right now just two.
remind us, do they both take two doses?
They do both take two doses. So for both of them, you get a dose, and then 21 to 28 days later, you get a second dose, which is meant to boost your immune system. So the second dose is often called a booster shot. Everyone who's getting a dose has to go back and get a second dose, so that complicates things a lot.
There's been a lot of criticism nationally about how the rollout of the vaccine is going. Mm-hmm. How is it going in Indiana compared with other states?
So the CDC just put up a dashboard that lets you look at all the states, how many doses they've gotten and how many vaccinations they have administered. Now, of course, some of these numbers lag by a few days because they're reported by the states and other people, but Indiana is near the bottom of the list now in terms of the percentage of doses administered versus the doses that have been shipped. So let me explain. Indiana, according to the CDC, has gotten 316,000 doses of the vaccine and has administered 62,000 of the first dose. Now, that's a little lower than we talked about a few minutes ago from the Indiana folks. But when you're comparing the numbers in time by the CDC, it looks like Indiana has administered less than 20% of what it has on hand so far. So pretty low compared to greater than 40% administered so far by some other states, including South Dakota, Connecticut, and Montana. Indiana is down in a pack with Ohio, Michigan, and California for getting the vaccine to the folks quickly. So that doesn't look great.
So you were listening in on a press conference that the governor and state health officials had this week. What did they say about how the rollout is going?
You know, they've been talking about this rollout for a couple of months, and I've gotten the impression that they were planned to the teeth for at least the last 6 weeks. They've been talking about how they're going to receive the shipments, who gets them in terms of hospitals and health departments, and who will be eligible to receive them. And they have a booklet on their website that shows the entire planning process. Yet you wonder, with having only administered 20% of what they have on hand compared to other states which have done much better, how it's going. You know, we're only getting a small look. The health department is not taking questions for the most part, not responding to questions. And the governor is having a press conference only once a week in which there is a limited amount of time for reporters to ask questions. I wish we knew more. I wish there was more transparency, but that's about what we know so far.
John, the state said this week it was going to create a dashboard so that the public could follow the number of doses of the vaccine that have been administered. Have they done that?
Yes, that dashboard went up late yesterday, Wednesday, and I'm looking at it now, and it seems pretty interesting just for the first week. So what it shows is that the number of doses administered in the previous week and total as a running total. So it says 75,000 people have been vaccinated, so which is about what they told us yesterday on the conference call. So it also shows breakdown by county. So you can see that Marion County has 9,700 people who have gotten the vaccine, Hamilton County, 6,800 people. And then some of the rural outlying counties around the state, very small numbers, which is interesting. You know, 41 people in Warren County, 54 people in Fountain County, which had a huge outbreak a few weeks ago, just 97 people in Vermilion. That raises all kinds of questions about, are hospitals out there not getting the vaccine? Are people not hearing about it? Or is their population for healthcare providers that much smaller than the big city?
There are definitely issues in how the vaccines are stored and transported because of their need to be kept cold, which does make it a little bit harder for the rural areas.
It is. And one of the things that the state health department explained a few weeks ago was that they were initially going to give the vaccine shipments, the large truckloads, to only five hospital systems around the state. And in central Indiana, it was Methodist Hospital. And then they would, from there, give it to 50 other hospitals around the state in smaller batches. But still, there's way more than 50 hospitals in Indiana. There's hundreds of hospitals. So you got to wonder who's getting it and who's not.
What else does the dashboard tell us?
Well, it shows by age group who's getting it. And you can see, if you look at it, that that folks between the ages of 30 and 39, 40 and 49, and 50 and 59 have received it at almost exactly the same amount, which is 22%.
And then sounds like the age of a lot of healthcare workers.
It does, doesn't it? And then much less so for folks that are over 70 or under 19. It also shows breakdown by race and by ethnicity, gender. The females are getting it over males by about a 2-to-1 margin, which makes you think that most hospital workers are female. So this will be something interesting to keep a look at. It'll be updated every Wednesday, and I'm sure it'll be closely watched by folks who want the vaccine or people who just want to see how well the state health department is performing this critical task.
How does the state determine who gets the vaccine and when?
Well, they've got this playbook, which they rolled out maybe a month ago, which is constantly being revised. And it sounds as if there are lots of moving parts. So there's an external advisory committee made up of healthcare professionals who are advising the state health department on who gets, what groups get to the front of the line. So you wonder who's in that group and how they determine that. And what we're told is that it all depends on the answers to a few critical questions. Those questions are, who is most likely to be vulnerable to sickness or death from COVID? So you're talking about people with chronic conditions or the elderly. Who is most in contact with people with the infection? So that would be people who work hospitals, healthcare workers, first responders, perhaps teachers. Those are kinds of people who are going to be near the front of the line. And then are there any groups that are based on the data from the clinical trials that aren't going to respond well to these vaccines? And it's too soon to say who those groups might be. And then just what the availability of the vaccines will be. So that's, you know, a pretty complicated analysis. And I think it just shows that it's not a quick and easy way to answer a question. It's a very complicated analysis.
There is a federal advisory board that is making recommendations, but ultimately states get to make their own call, right, about how the vaccine is distributed and who it's distributed to.
I think you're right, Leslie. Although, you know, states that go way off the rails and just giving this to, you know, abusing that, giving it to, you know, family and friends of folks who are nowhere near the front of the line can easily have their shipments curtailed or restricted. But yes, the federal government is trying to give the states lots of discretion in how they administer the vaccine and to what groups.
So, John, you mentioned that it's been a little bit hard to get some questions answered, and there's not a lot of transparency. Can you say at all what people who want the vaccine, how they should go about trying to get one?
It's not that easy. It's going to be weeks, if not months, before the general public can get the vaccine. We're still talking about tens, if not hundreds of thousands of healthcare workers in Indiana who need to get vaccinated first, and nursing care residents. When it comes to your turn, you will be notified, is the way we're being told. There's no real place to reach out in the meantime. If you're a pretty healthy person who's not working any of these positions I talked about earlier, teacher, doctor, nurse, then you're just going to have to sit tight probably until the end of January, maybe February. Then we'll be told how you'll be notified. For example, the doctors and nurses, how are they being notified? It's through their employers and with a backup check on their license from the state professional licensing agency. So, I mean, there are ways that they've gone about it. I'm curious how they're going to find me. I mean, I'm not licensed to do anything in Indiana. How are they going to find me or you or my next door neighbor? That's a good question, and not one we're being told about yet. You know, I hate to be constantly saying, I don't know. Reporters like to know. Reporters should know. Reporters' job is to know. But there's just so little information out there that we can tell you only what we know, which isn't a whole lot right now.
Of course, during a rollout like this, there are going to be a lot of concerns or rumors or issues. But one of them has been that there have been a few people who have somehow managed to get vaccines, even though they didn't meet the criteria. I know that state officials were asked about that. What was their response to that?
That's right. There are reports that some teachers and some other folks who don't meet the eligibility criteria for the first round have gotten vaccines. And what the state health department said was, in the real world, things are going to happen where there are people who don't show up for their appointments and there are vaccination doses left over. What do you do with them? At the end of the day, these things are very perishable and very sensitive. You just can't throw them back in the fridge. And if you've got two or three doses left over and no one showing up to get them, who's just give them to somebody else, they say, that's fine. If you have a couple of doses left over, find someone who wants one. It's a very small number overall.
Yeah, it seems almost impossible to be able to completely police a system that is so reliant on individuals and individual organizations to carry out.
I agree.
Well, John, I'm sure we're going to check back with you soon about how things are going. We appreciate you tracking it. And of course, everybody should watch IBJ.com and IBJ's print issues for more information. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thanks again to John Russell, who has rounded up a number of these questions and answers about the vaccine at IBJ.com. Also this week, IBJ reporter Kurt Christian has a fascinating story about the technology some neighborhood associations are now using to track who is driving around their subdivisions. Companies that for years have sold license plate readers to police agencies are now selling them to homeowners groups, which is raising questions about privacy. Susan Orr has a story about the work taking place to upgrade State Road 37 to Interstate 69 and what the detours could mean for traffic in downtown Martinsville. Business owners there hope that increased traffic will mean increased business, but they fear it could cause problems as well. And Mickey Shuey has a story about how residents who live in the historically Black neighborhoods along Indiana Avenue plan to be more active in future development conversations, especially for projects near the Madam Walker Legacy Center. You can read all these stories in the print issue of IBJ that is delivered to your home or office or at IBJ.com. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of the IBJ podcast. Mason King will be back next week.